There's a new Tower of Babel these days, and it's all English, or rather, a growing number of Englishes, constantly evolving, constantly absorbing influences from different parts of the world. A couple of examples for you from colleagues here at Bush House. Nishtha Chug from the Hindi service, and the world today's Hawete Haile Selassie, who told us about English as spoken in Ethiopia.
My first most annoying experience was of the word thank you in response to an offer of a meal, of a drink, a coffee, a tea, handing around biscuits. Would you like something? Thank you, meaning no thank you. So I'd be standing around with platters of food being told thank you. And they meant no thank you very much, please go away. And I thought they wanted whatever it was I was offering.
When we speak to anyone, we want to know where do they come from or where do they live. So we usually say, where do you put up or where are you putting up? Now, this is a very normal question when you're trying to find out where is that person living. But when I asked this question to someone here, they looked very confused and they said, what are you trying to ask us?
Well, English changing fast. So why? Edwin Duncan's professor of English at Towson University in Maryland.
There are so many Englishes being spoken in the world right now. That's part of the reason that it's changing so rapidly.
When you say so many Englishes being spoken, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, in India they're speaking English, and that sounds one way. In Singapore it's another way. In Australia and England it's another way. In Mississippi it's another way, you know. And
but are you talking about accents? Are you talking about vernaculars? Are you talking about different words?
I'm talking about vernaculars, and those vernaculars do have different words, and they're based on different sound systems. So, for example, if you talk to someone from India, you're picking up on the Hindi sound system because a certain amount of that is migrated across to the language, the English that they speak.
One of the interesting things that in the changing of words is Shakespeare, of course, many centuries ago, used words that we know today, but perhaps not in the combination that we know them today. I mean, the word hot meant something to him, also a dog, but a hot dog would be a confusion.
That's right, and we've got new combinations coming up all the time. So you've got words like mouse pad, words that have been in the language for centuries, flash drive, but in combination they take on new meanings. And this is one of the most fascinating aspects of language as it evolves, is that so many of the words are words that have been around for a long time. But either they'll take on new meanings in combination with other words, or they'll change meanings. So take, for example, words like gay or grass or mouse, what they meant a century ago and what those words mean today. And it's completely different, and it's something that no one 100 years ago would have been able to predict either.
Should conservative-minded people be depressed? Is English degenerating?
No. The real truth of the matter is that English has always been changing. And if you look back at Chaucer's English or Shakespeare's English, all the way up to or Benjamin Franklin's English, all the way up to our English, it's always changing, and it will continue to change, and there's nothing we could do about it, and frankly, I don't see any problem with it.
Do you see the mainstream that we're getting used to as remaining from now on pretty substantially the same, or will it split off into increasing numbers of different Englishes?
That's impossible to know. There are two opposing forces, and one force is the force of standardization, and that's what you get with the globalization of media, computers, TV, and so on. And then at the same time, as you've got these different groups of people speaking English in different parts of the world, then that force is towards the balkanization of English and dialects that will eventually be unintelligible. You've got to have a lingua franca, and the lingua franca is standard English, and so I think there will always be a place for what we call standard English or what you call the Queen's English. So a Scotsman can understand somebody from Detroit, from inner city Detroit, if they both use standard English. Whereas if he's speaking with a Scottish dialect and the person in Detroit is speaking with the inner city Detroit dialect, they may not understand a word that the other one is saying.
Professor Edwin Duncan on the line from Maryland.